Right, what is going on? Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is do or die tonight at Dodger Stadium. But Jorge had to go to a pumpkin patch tonight. I invited Jorge to the game. Jorge said, nope, I got to go to a pumpkin patch.
Jorge, that you know I love you, man, but that is some weak sauce.
John,
to a pumpkin patch.
Okay, Mace, be honest. Where are we sitting at?
Well, we were going to sit in the same seats you had last night.
No, we weren't.
You're a liar.
No, we weren't.
No, I would have.
Liar.
No. I was ready to spend to get you guys in.
All right, let's go then.
All right, let's go. Let's do it.
John, he was going to sit us in the
tonight.
Reserve.
Reserve?
Yeah, no, it was going to be reserve.
Way the hell up there again. I'd rather go to the pumpkin patch and watch it.
I was going
to
say,
you get a better seat at the pumpkin patch watching on your phone.
Yeah.
Hey, Mace, you know one thing about tonight? The Dodgers better get ahead early because I'm telling you were in New York. So I don't think you were in L.A. when this happened.
Yep.
But when the Angels won the World Series in 2002,
yep,
nobody knew where this kid, Frankie Rodriguez, K-Rod, came from.
Sure.
He started the year in the minors. He was throwing 100 miles an hour. He had great movement on his pitches. And so he gets into the playoffs, and nobody had seen him, and
yep,
his stuff was crazy. When they brought that Camilo Duvall in last night,
yeah,
and he's throwing 100, Giants guy, he's throwing 101 miles an hour, I said, who is this guy? I looked it up. He started the year in the minors.
Yeah.
So here's, and so they've
glad,
got K-Rod. They,
you,
so we got to get ahead.
Up. I'm glad you brought this up. He burned him 2 innings last night.
Yeah, but I bet
Camilo
you put
Duvall,
some in.
Does Camilo Duvall come back tonight in a key situation?
I bet you if they're up going to the ninth, he comes in and pitches the ninth.
Yeah, I wonder if they burned him. I wonder if we won't see Jake McGee more tonight.
Well, I think it's all hands on deck.
One of the interesting dynamics was Austin Barnes pinch hitting for the Dodgers in a key situation, two on, seventh inning. And in fairness, Bergman texted to the group chat and said, I don't agree with Austin Barnes in this situation.
Greg, who would you have hit there?
I actually would have gone Gavin Lux in that situation. And I understand it would have been lefty versus lefty. It would have been lefty versus righty, and then they would
lefty
have switched up.
Righty,
then they would have switched to McGee, and then it would have been lefty versus lefty, which is fine. He's been hitting the ball well. You saw last night. He almost hit it out.
Yeah,
at least that would have moved somebody over. Like, it would have been a whole different situation. So I didn't like the fact that they went with, A, the backup catcher already, and B, just Austin Barnes, who is not known for getting big hits.
By the way, once they brought in Austin Barnes and burn the backup catcher, that meant Will Smith was going to have to play the whole game no matter what,
right?
That's
a
yes.
good point.
Yep,
that's a good
absolutely.
Point, yeah.
So if he got hurt, that was it. I don't even know who the third catcher is. Kenley Jansen.
What we found out so far during the postseason is that the Dodgers bench is not what it was without Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez.
Yeah, who are both killing it.
Who are both
killing
it.
With other teams. Yeah.
Now, people bring up Alex Verdugo, but we got Mookie Betts for Alex Verdugo, so I do that deal. Alex Verdugo's obviously
yeah. The,
really
the
well
guys
the
you
Red
had
Sox.
A choice on were Kike and
Kike and Jock
and Peterson. Yeah,
yeah, Kike and Jock. The other Andy McCullough wrote a piece. I think this was for The Athletic, and he pointed out that you know this Dodger team. Let's just say after we win the World Series, this Dodger team after we win the World Series. Is, as his headline says, the last dance for the Dodgers. It's not the last dance for the Dodgers, but it is the end of something. And it is true that the Dodgers, after this season, Kenley's a free agent, Kershaw's a free agent, Seager's a free agent, Chris Taylor is a free agent, and, of course, Max Scherzer is a free agent. And you wonder what this looks like when we get to next season.
Well, and I think how this season finishes impacts that.
Sure.
You know, whether or not you offer deals to everybody or if you just cut bait, you know, with on a lot of these guys, including maybe Kershaw.
Yeah, including Kershaw. Absolutely. So what is your we'll just throw this out. What is your confidence level for tonight? 877-710-ESPN.
I'm guessing mine is higher than yours. Mine's about a 6.
Mine's about a 4.
Yeah.
I'm nervous as hell. And by the way, not Stepdad Leo is a real – pain in my ass. I'll tell you that much.
Giants fan, yeah.
Giants fan. I just, honestly, one of the biggest reasons I want to beat the Giants is because of not Stepdad Leo, because he's an obnoxious Giants fan. Obnoxious. And I know he's listening right now. Stop being so obnoxious. All right. I wanted to get this in. So the Astros are actually playing the White Sox right now. Houston has a 6-1 lead with a chance to close out Chicago. But Ryan Tepera, do you have this sound, Jorge? Ryan Tepera is a pitcher, actually threw today for the White Sox, and he made an interesting suggestion about the Astros.
The stadium was rocking. You know, obviously it's a different game here at our field. You know, you play at Minute Maid, and you know they're doing something over there that's a little different. You know, it shows you how many swings and misses they had tonight compared to at Minute Maid. So, you know, that's why you have home field advantage. And you know, tomorrow, and you know, we got another home field advantage, so we're ready to go. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. They've obviously had a reputation of, you know, doing some sketchy stuff over there. And, you know, it's just we can say that it's a little bit of a difference. You know, I think you saw the swings and misses tonight compared to, you know, the first two games of Minute Maid. But yeah, that's not really the story, you know.
All right, so there is
we come here to play.
He threw today. It looks like the Astros will advance and they will win on the road. Is it possible that the Astros are still doing something along the lines of cheating?
I think that they're probably still pushing the envelope, yeah. I don't know if it's as egregious as they were before.
It would be tough. I would imagine this is being monitored really, really closely, particularly with the Astros. And the other thing is, I don't think, unlike A.J. Hinch, I don't think Dusty Baker would stand for it. Dusty Baker is an old school guy. I mean, from the oldest school.
Right.
I don't know that Dusty Baker would stand for a cheating scheme
would
by the Astros.
Exactly.
Oh, would he know? Yeah. They would definitely have to work around him. By the way, this is
buzzers.
Like little. Oh, yeah, they're wearing buzzers? You think so?
I mean, that's what they were wearing before. I mean, that was why, remember, Altuve was holding
it. Jose Altuve, don't take my jersey off. Yeah, don't take my jersey
off. I have a tattoo. I don't want anyone to see my tattoo.
Clearly wearing my a wife. Buzzer.
But yeah, by the way, people who get tattoos get them because they want people to see them.
Right. It wasn't finished yet. Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of here. You just had a monster hit, and you don't want your jersey off the way they've been doing all year long. Clearly, he was wearing a buzzer. I wonder if there isn't something to it. And, you know, I also wonder if the Astros aren't the team that's going to go to the World Series.
Well, they're playing with a gigantic chip on their shoulder. Everywhere they go, they get the crap booed out of them. And so they have that us against the world thing going for them, where they literally – the only people they have are each other, and that can be unifying. That can be a driving force. So they may, you're right, they may end up there. And the Red Sox are already through. The Red Sox aren't going to be that, you know, unbeatable. So a lot of people thought if the Rays made it through, that the Rays and Astros would be a really tough series. But now the Rays are out.
Yeah. So the Dodgers lineup has come out, and we're facing a right-hander in Anthony Desclafani tonight. So here's the way the lineup looks. Mookie leading off, Corey Seager batting second, so a little flip there. Trey Turner in the three spot. Will Smith moves from the eight spot to cleanup. He's the cleanup batter tonight. Then JT, then Gavin Lux in center field, then Cody Bellinger at first base, Chris Taylor in left, which means no AJ Pollock, and Walker Buehler on the mound. What do you think of the lineup?
I like everything except taking Pollock out. I know he hasn't been good in the postseason, but he was so ungodly hot the last 2 weeks of the regular season, I would want to give A.J. Pollock 3 or 4 at-bats. So that's the one thing I don't like is no A.J. Pollock. I probably would have played him over Taylor. It's a little risky putting Gavin Lux in center, but I like the extra I like the extra left-handed bat, and I wonder, Greg, if they, since Bellinger's in the lineup and they're playing him at first,
mm-hmm.
How hard would it be to get Bellinger to center? Could anybody else
Easy.
In that lineup play first base?
I mean, you don't need him to. You can put other guys at first base. You can
yeah,
put
there
Beatty.
Aren't other guys that can play first base.
Yeah, I mean, can move Beatty in, like he did before. You can put Albert Pujols in when a lefty comes in. There's plenty of things.
But I mean, obviously they want Gavin Lux in the lineup because he smoked that ball at the end of the game last night, and they're giving up defense for offense, which, and I understand why, their backs are against the wall. But Mace, what do you think about putting Gavin Lux in center field defensively?
I think you need the bat, especially after last night. I think you need the bat, and you're just going to have trust that he figures it out. You know, with the wind down, or if the wind is up again, it's going to be hard for a ball to leave the yard, particularly at that place. So I think defense in that position is going to be questionable. I think I would have wanted Cody Bellinger in center field if
yeah,
I was Dave Roberts.
But if we do it that way, then Lux, there's nowhere else to put Lux, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're not
there'd be nowhere
Trey
to. You could put
out.
Lux in left and drop Chris Taylor out of the lineup. But Chris Taylor he smoked a ball last night. Chris Taylor smoked a ball in the sixth inning, and Steven Duggar made a great catch on it. That was a hot one to the wall. So
the State Farm sign, really needs to watch out for Gavin Lux. It's gonna
be
what do
you think,
center.
Bergman?
See, I like all this. I actually disagree, John. I don't think that Pollock belongs in this lineup right now. He has been just an absolute abysmal ball player in the postseason.
Yeah, but Greg, look at his last 2 weeks.
You can't look
like
at that.
600.
It's the postseason is a totally different beast.
Yeah, and in the postseason,
do you remember 2 years ago? Do you remember 2 years ago where he went like 0-14 with 12 strikeouts? I mean, that's kind of where he's at right now. In this series, he's had two hits, and both of those hits came when it was like 7-2.
Yeah,
it was,
right.
It was. I mean, they didn't matter. It was like the Manny Machado thing where he only hits home runs in the first inning or in the ninth inning when you're up 8-2.
Interesting text. Why not put, because Chris Taylor played a great center field last night, why not keep Taylor in center and put Lux in left?
That was a dangerous place out there when he was in left. He just could not figure it out.
I don't think Lux has any experience playing left field.
Well, he played it and ran into Cody Bellinger and injured him.
Well, and he also had that. Remember, they did that chalk outline on the wall.
Well, that was at center. That was the
State
Farm sign.
Yeah, but tougher to play center field than it is to play left field.
For
left
some reason,
left field you can hide a guy defensively.
You can, but it seems like he's taking to center field more than he's taking to left field. He just can't figure it out in left field at all. Balls are going over his head. He just doesn't see it off the bat as well, I think. So as by being in center field, he has a better viewpoint.
And balls hit to left are hit harder. They get there faster. There's potential for disaster in both places. It's risky, but why not? Well, yeah, you're right, Mace. Get the other bat in there. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, you want the extra left-handed bat against Desclafani. And I've not looked. Maybe AJ Pollock has had no success against Desclafani. That's another possibility.
Well, he's a righty, and you're going up against.
It's righty, but you know some guys you've got a record against. Some guys you don't.
Sure. Well, do you like Taylor in the eighth spot? Just like they had Will Smith in the eighth spot last.
Yeah, I like Taylor. It's a long lineup. I mean, I think the Dodgers do a great job of lengthening the lineup. They did that last night. It didn't work, but Will Smith in the eight hole is a scary, scary hitter.
And by the way, I know this is a big if, but if the Dodgers can get the lead, you can always slide Bellinger to center as a defensive replacement late and bring Beatty into play first and lock down your defense a little bit. But the problem with that plan is you got to get the lead, and the Dodgers haven't been able to do that. So hopefully they'll score some runs early. If they get base runners, would you bunt? And move. Would you play small ball just to get a couple of runs?
No, but I'd go with a two-strike approach. By the way, here's some. I've got the numbers against Desclafani. Beatty's 3-for-6. Bellinger's 1-for-12. Mookie's 2-for-8. Gavin Lux is 3-for-8 with a home run. 3-for-8 with a home run. AJ Pollock 7-for-18. 389 off of Desclafani.
That's interesting.
That's questionable. Corey Seager, 4-for-8. Will Smith, 6-for-12. They've hit this guy pretty hard. Justin Turner, 9-for-32. I guess, 281. Trey Turner, 286. So they've had some success against this guy this year.
Yeah, so they've played him six times, and they're batting 300 against him with an 875 OPS as a team, which is easily the most than any other team that Desclafani has
played. I feel like we're
going
to score runs tonight. I feel like we're going to score
runs. Should
what? Should. Every
Based on
other
the fact
game.
That we've had a lot of success against Desclafani this year.
Zero runs, nine runs, zero runs, nine runs.
Yeah, he's been really inconsistent. He gave up 9 in one game. He gave a shutout one game. He gave up 10 hit or runs in a game. So he's really been up and down. But I think it's an advantage. You know, it's sort of like how you don't want hitters – you don't want a hitter pitchers to see a lineup for the third time.
Right.
The Dodgers are seeing Desclafani for the 7th time this year. To me, that's a big advantage for the Dodgers. I think if the Giants had lost last night – they would have come back with Logan Webb in game 4 if their backs were against the wall. The same way we would have gone with Tony Gonsolin had we won last night. So I think based on Desclafani and our success against him, I think the Dodgers are going to be able to score. But I said this earlier, and I really do mean it. Dave Roberts uses that golf analogy all the time. Keep your driver in the bag tonight. If it's windy again, and it's supposed to be windy again, feel free to hit some irons, man. You go with a 2-strike approach even on the first pitch. You don't have to swing from your heels because chances are that ball is not leaving the yard.
Hey, when we come back, can we talk about Kyrie Irving?
Sure. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, listen up. If you're looking for a new TV, today's your lucky day. Our guys Isaac and Roy from Mirror Audio Video are back with a great deal on a very special TV. You can buy this right here, right now. Listen up. Brand new Sony 77-inch Master Series Bravia OLED 4K. Here's how this works. Just be one of the first 3 to call Mirror Audio Video, get through and buy, and the TV is yours. This TV is going to change your world. The Sony Master Series Bravia 77-inch OLED is out of this world. This is the TV I have in my house. This is the TV Ramona has in her house. These things are unbelievable. Right here, right now, you can grab it for the lowest price on the planet. One catch, there are only 3. After the 3 go, the deal's over. This TV retails for $4,000. If you go on Amazon Prime right now, the price is $3,500. We're going lower than that. $2,799. $2,799. That's a deal too good to pass up, and Isaac will deliver it to your door for free. 3 only. Ready? Here's the number. 310-234-4010. 310-234-4010. Good luck from Mir Audio Video in Westwood.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, I'm sort of like trying to micro-analyze my fantasy football team right now. I was offered A.J. Green for Kadarius Toney, who had a really big week. What do we think about that deal, John?
I would keep Toney.
Keep Toney?
Yeah.
Because I can't play him because they're playing the Rams. I never play somebody who's playing against the Rams.
Well, here's why. Toney is the number one option right now in the Giants. Galladay and Sterling Shepard are hurt. And in Arizona, even though I like A.J. Green and he's had a nice comeback year, they have DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
So he's never going to be the number one option. I'd keep the guy in New York.
By the way, if he is available, this is from Matthew Berry. If you do not subscribe to the Fantasy Life email every day, you really should. These are his 3 most important waiver wire pickups for this week. Devontae Booker for the Giants, because Saquon Barkley is going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Darrell Williams from the Chiefs, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be gone for a couple of weeks. And then Kadarius Toney, the Giants wide receiver, who had 189 yards receiving this year, last week. And they're without Sterling Shepard, and they're without Kenny Golladay. So Devontae Booker, Darrell Williams, and Kadarius Toney, possible waiver wire pickups as you get ready for this weekend of fantasy football. John, I'm getting more confident in my team every single week. I had a dominating victory this last week.
You won by 1 point, and you're tied for last place.
One brow,
I know,
man.
But my eyebrow is feeling more secure.
Why? You're in last place. If the season ended today, you'd have to shave your eyebrow off.
I've started a winning streak, John. Oh, I've started a winning streak. By the way, the thing that sucks about the eyebrow thing is if I do finish last, that means when I go to Rams playoff games, I'm going to be with one eyebrow.
Yeah.
One brow man.
I think it'll make you stand out.
It certainly will make me stand out.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Today, the Brooklyn Nets, who are the favorites in Vegas to win the NBA title.
Yes.
Lakers are second, right behind them.
Yep.
Their general manager, Sean Marks, announced that Kyrie Irving, who is unvaccinated, is now not going to be on the team unless he gets vaccinated. And part of that is because Kyrie would be limited. He couldn't play home games. And he would be limited as to how much he could practice, depending on where the team was. So they made that announcement today. Was this a smart move by the Nets, by Sean Marks? And here's why I'm asking. So let's say you only have Kyrie for half the games.
Yep. In other words, you only have him on the road games, not at the home games.
Right. And even in the playoffs, you'd have him for half the games.
Yes.
Isn't half the games better than zero games, which is what the Nets have voluntarily decided to do to themselves?
You know, I think they're putting pressure on him to get the vaccine.
So you think that, but do you think they're lying? Do you think that, like, if he comes out today and says, you know what, this doesn't change my decision, I'm not getting the vaccine, do you think the Nets reverse field and say, okay, we'll take you for half the games? Because isn't your job, if you're the GM, like, I'm just putting this in, I'm glad all the Lakers are vaccinated and this isn't an issue.
Yeah, yeah. And virtually all the players are vaccinated.
In the whole league, you're talking
about.
Yeah,
in the whole league.
Yeah. But if I had to make a choice, like, we have a big three. We have LeBron, AD, and Westbrook. If one of those guys was in this Kyrie boat, I think I'd want to have him for half the games rather than zero, wouldn't you?
Well,
I mean, basketball swings on one guy a lot.
What a you-know-what show that is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, I ain't talking about the vaccine because it's very political.
But in this case, it's tied to a sports story.
Yeah, I mean, it's very political, so it's hard to really talk about. I mean, I would go back to nobody was saying, hey, I'm not going to get my polio vaccine. Nobody said that. That was never said. People just all went and got their polio vaccine because it's a terrible disease. I've got I'll just say this. I've got a niece right now with COVID who didn't get vaccinated. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right. But address this for what it is now. He's saying he won't get vaccinated. Let's say he sticks to his guns. Do you want him for half the games or you don't want him at all?
I think you make him play no games. I understand what the Nets are doing. They're saying, you know what? Until you get vaccinated, you're not going to play at all. And this is the pressure they're applying to get him to get vaccinated. I just think if you want to win in this league, and you mentioned the Lakers are all vaccinated, if you want to win in this league, you can't deal with COVID protocols, losing guys at certain times, vaccine mandate. Just get your damn shot.
You can't put him above the rest of the team, John. It's like, what if it was Bruce Brown? If it was Bruce Brown that was doing this, what would they say to him? You're not playing?
Sure.
Okay, what
but
if it
Bruce
was?
Bruce Brown isn't Kyrie. Kyrie's one of the
sure.
best.
Well, yeah, but then you're putting Kyrie above the rest of the team.
Above the rest of the team.
Well, he's
one of the best 20 players in the NBA.
Right, but that doesn't matter. Like,
Are you seriously suggesting you would treat LeBron the same way you would treat Trevor Ariza?
No, okay, what about Joe Harris, who's a big part of that team? If he is their best three-point shooter, and he opens up the floor a ton.
Right. Kyrie.
Still not Kyrie. Okay, so if it was Harden, you would do the same thing. You'd put him above
Kyrie,
everybody else.
Kyrie, Harden, and
Durant.
Durant are above the other 12 guys.
Like, yeah, there's no way you can make an argument against that.
Greg,
I mean, LeBron,
Dwayne Wade, and Bosh went to the finals 4 years in a row, and they just stuck two guys off the street with him out there. At one point, they put Mario Chalmers and Mike Miller there, and they won the title. If you can get three superstars on the same team, your chances of winning, which is why the Lakers went out and got Westbrook, your chances of winning the title go way, way up. The Nets just took one of their three off the board instead of saying half the games with Kyrie is better, or none of the games are better than half the games. I just don't know if that's a smart move.
Well, I mean, I think the situation's probably going to be very fluid, right? This is their opinion today. It may change. If they get off to a slow start, they may say, hey, we need Kyrie on road games. By the way, I think there's a dispensation for players to play like in California. Like, I think you're allowed to, even though there are strict mandates going on, I think a visiting player is allowed to play at Golden State or at Staples Center because they get a dispensation because they're from an opposing team. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So Kyrie was going to be available. He was going to miss 41 home games plus the two against the Knicks. So it was going to be 43 games and be limited as to how much he could practice. But most NBA teams, Mace, to be honest, don't practice a ton during the season.
Right.
And by the way, I don't know the answer. I'm not in Sean Marks' shoes. Maybe it's such a distraction that having a guy pop in and out and be there some of the time and not be there other times that it's crazy. But when you have a player of that caliber, when he's that good, normally you take him when you can get him. I'll use a weird example. When Kobe was dealing with Colorado, he missed a ton of games and a ton of practices just flying back and forth. But they made the decision, when we can have him, we're going to have him. And Kobe balled out. I don't know if Kyrie would – Kyrie averaged 27 points a game last year in the NBA.
Right.
He's really, really good. Michael says he's the best one-on-one player in the league.
And that's probably true.
And Durant signed there specifically to play with Kyrie.
Yeah. I mean, I think what they're doing is – I got to believe what they're doing is just trying to put pressure on him to get the vaccine. Right?
And
if they come out of the box hot – oh, wait a minute.
Is Michael here?
Michael Thompson's here?
Yeah, I've been here for the last 2 hours. Wait,
why didn't you jump in, man?
Mike, I forgot. Well, I knew we had a Laker game. I didn't know you were hanging out at the station. Would you, Michael, I've said many times you could run a team. Uh-huh. If you were in this Kyrie situation, would you take him for half the games or Nets doing the right thing?
Better than nothing. I mean, if he refuses to get vaxxed, they may as well take him for the games he's eligible for. Believe me,
if he played
half the games, that's about 30 more you could win. He is that great.
But don't you think this is just a fluid situation? In other words, this is the decision today.
Yeah.
But it may be 2 weeks into the season that Sean Marks says, okay, we'll play you on the road games. Or because of the fact that Kyrie's not going to be able to play at all now, maybe that puts pressure on Kyrie to make the decision to get the vaccine.
He's going to get vaxxed. I believe he may miss a game or two, but somebody's going to talk to him and say, Kyrie, I know you're a man of principle and convictions, but if you don't play, you're going to lose about $16 or $17 million. And I think he'll come to his common sense, just like Andrew Wiggins did up in Oakland.
Now, this isn't suspension without pay, though, is it?
Yes, you don't get paid.
Yeah, you don't get paid if you don't play.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah, you didn't know that, Mace? That
this is like Ben Simmons, then.
Yeah, right.
I told you Ben Simmons was going to be on the floor all along, Michael. You kept saying no.
Yeah, he's there, but his heart's not there. He's there in spirit and body, physically, but his mind and his heart ain't there.
Hey, Michael, I'm sure you saw the Lakers signed Sekou Doumbouya earlier, and he's from a place, is it pronounced Guinea or Guyana?
Guinea. Yeah.
And then he moved to France.
It's in Africa, right? West Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he moved to France, so we're going to have two French guys in our two-way contracts. Him and that Joel Ayayi are both from France.
Yeah, if they ever rode on a plane with us in the back, they could teach us some French. Hey, I got to get this call because this is my colonoscopist.
I hope they don't surrender.
All right, go. Get it.
I'll call.
Sorry. Yeah, he's talking to me. Michael doesn't want to miss the colonoscopy doctor.
Very Michael.
Yeah.
All right, we are getting ready.
I got to get this call. Yeah, yes, it's my colonoscopy doctor.
I'm glad he's getting
now
a colonoscopy.
Now he's on speaker. He's talking
Everybody
to his doctor
should do it.
On speaker.
Have you had a colonoscopy?
All right. This is too much information.
Yeah.
But my dad had, before he died, had colon cancer. I've had four of them.
Oh, wow.
Every 2 years for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, it's smart. Yeah. You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah. My last one, though, that I got at UCLA, that it came out so clean, the guy said, I'm giving you a 5-year hiatus. So
nice.
I got to go back in 4 more years.
Yeah, it's such a process. Well, good. I'm glad Michael's doing it.
That was my doctor telling me not to forget what to eat or not to eat the day before.
Well, Michael, that's
this is my third time doing it. I'm a pro at this. I could do the colonoscopy myself.
Well,
a self colonoscopy.
Yeah, exactly. Just give me
that looks
just give me a scope and I can do it.
The self-colonoscopy? Yeah, I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, you just put a tube there and you get a little camera and you're set.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Man, stop. Well, that's what they do.
Right. Break time. Yeah, that sounds like a terrible.
I'm telling you, man. Okay. Man out there listening to us, do not
Somebody's
put it off.
Somebody's eating lunch right now, Michael. Somebody's eating lunch.
Oh, please.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, game 4, do or die tonight at Dodger Stadium. I will be there for this game. By the way, John, we'll talk about it coming up. Also, how much peanut butter versus how much jelly should be in a peanut butter
Bring
and jelly
sandwich?
Bring
this up. I'm outraged by this.
We will do that coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Show rolls on. Big day for the Dodgers. Game 4 tonight at Dodger Stadium.
Mason, I bought Laura my sugarcane rum from the Bahamas today.
Really? Did you give it to her?
She'll be here about in a couple hours, so she'll get it there.
Okay, wait. Did we lose Mason, Greg?
Again?
I don't know where he is, actually. Yeah, he probably ran off.
Bathroom run.
Yeah, okay, I guess we lost him. All right, so, Michael, I want you to listen to this report from our friend Michelle Tafoya that happened during Sunday night football. There was that weather delay between the Bills and the Chiefs. And so these guys were killing time, waiting for the lightning storm to clear. And it became a debate about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Ooh. Here's Michelle's report. You'll hear Al Michaels. You'll hear Drew Brees. This runs 1 minute. Hit it, Jorge.
They are eating sandwiches, although a couple have complained to me that there's too much peanut butter on the sandwiches. It's like 70-30 with the jelly, so they're not enjoying those as much. But basically keeping it, you know, business-like, but very relaxed. I mean, if you talk to the guys that I've run into, it's relaxed. Now, the best-case scenario, the NFL tells us, is that 9:45 is the time that these players could get back out here on the field. They'd give them 5 or 10 minutes to warm up. But again, that's the best-case scenario. We just don't have anything firm right now. Al.
All right, Michelle. So that would be 10 minutes from now. All right, we've got to send it back to the studio. Mike Tirico, I want to know what the proper ratio is on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Back to you.
Well, I have a nut allergy, so I'm the one here who's not the expert. I'll turn to you guys. Proper balance there, guys?
To me, the real question is it grape jelly or strawberry jelly?
Does that matter?
Yeah. And then how are we cutting it? Are we cutting it, you know, square or rectangular?
And white bread or whole wheat?
Triangle. Yes. Right.
All right, now this is a question that lands right in Michael and I's wheelhouse because on the Lakers plane, we do not fly without peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They are constantly on the plane.
It's an NBA thing.
Yeah, at all times. Michael, I actually think 70% peanut butter to 30% jelly sounds perfect. What say you?
I usually do 63-37.
63-37, that is very precise and scientific.
Exactly,
Michael.
63-37 peanut butter over jelly.
Yeah, but Mace,
70-30 is acceptable.
Do you agree, the peanut butter needs to be more tilted than the jelly. 50-50 is too much jelly. 70-30 peanut butter to jelly sounds perfect to me.
See, I'm more of a 60-40 guy.
60-40.
All right, either way, we all agree.
Peanut butter, 40% jelly.
We all agree a little more peanut butter.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and then the Drew Brees question.
Now, was it strawberry or grape for you guys?
He asked strawberry or grape. Now, I'm always strawberry, but Michael, I learned. Remember Kristen Andrews, the nutritionist who used to travel with us?
Yeah. We all hated her.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
She was a great lady. I'm not saying I'm a person, but she had all that weird food on the plane, remember?
Well, but she wouldn't let us eat any sugar.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Kristen told me that you have to have, and Michael, I want to know this from you because you check both boxes. You're an NBA player, and you're a brother. She said, you got to have the grape jelly because a lot of the black players grew up with the grape jelly, which I had never heard before.
I grew up with grape jelly.
Is that accurate, Michael?
Well, I don't know because I like them both. And in the Bahamas, where I grew up, we had mostly strawberry, but I love grape too. But when I came over here to the States and I lived in a ghetto, like all the other brothers, I always still included the strawberry. But I know we like grape soda and all that stuff, but I didn't know we preferred grape jelly over strawberry jelly.
Grape is the classic jelly, I think.
Yeah, strawberry tastes better, but Mace, if you flew with us, like Michael and I are flying tomorrow. We're flying to Sacramento tomorrow.
Yes.
And if you ask on our plane for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you will be met with grape or strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
White or wheat. They make them. They have every imaginable kind of PB&J.
Now, do they still have in the press room? I haven't been there yet.
Yes, but you got to go in the refrigerator to get them.
Don't they have those Uncrustables?
Yep, they're in the fridge. They never put them out in the open. You got to walk over to where the coffee is, and if you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, they're in the fridge.
I never saw them in there.
Yeah, look tonight.
But they're cold.
They are cold.
You eat a cold peanut butter and jelly, George?
The Uncrustables.
You know what I really don't like is all the organic crap. Like, give me Jif. Give me Jif with the peanut. I don't want the organic crap with all that oil on top that you have to spit.
And organic goes bad quicker. Mm-hmm.
Chunky or creamy?
Yeah, you want chunky or creamy, Mace?
Chunky.
I'm chunky.
You chunky on your peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah.
Man, you need the nuts.
No.
Mike.
You need the nuts.
Man. Oh, it's got to be smooth. Right? Got to creamy. What is wrong with y'all?
Oh, man.
Jeez.
The one thing, Michael, about those Uncrustables is they're in their own individual packages. Mm-hmm. So you can just throw them in your golf bag. And they won't, they won't make a mess.
Mace, you probably
whenever you're hungry,
Mace,
you eat them.
You're so soft, Mace. You probably cut the crust off too, don't you?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I like
the best part.
Yeah, I never was one of those guys that had the crust cut off when I was a little kid. Okay. I think
that's
those
a little
kids
needy.
Are just a pain in the ass.
Right. Yeah.
Diagonal cut, straight up and down cut, or sideways cut.
I like me a good diagonal cut.
Nah, straight side. Well, let's go 50-50 sideways.
Uncut. Don't cut it.
Uncut.
Yeah. Uncut.
Yeah.
Straight up. What are you, a heathen?
Yeah, just straight up. You're going to bite it anyway.
Oh, yeah. But you like to, when you cut them in half, George, it lasts longer.
But by the way, Michael, did you hear that Jorge is not only not watching the Laker game tonight, he's not watching the Dodger game because he's taking his daughter to a pumpkin patch.
I love that. That's a good father.
Thank you, Mike.
That is the most important thing in his life is his kids.
Wait a minute.
No sports compared to that.
Isn't the pumpkin patch going to be there tomorrow when there's no Dodger game?
And Ireland and Mace, don't you guys ever heard this thing on his iPhone? He can actually watch the game?
Exactly.
Tell him, George.
Exactly.
Come on.
I got a good seat at the pump.
You are speaking like a man with no kids. Thinking sports are more important than kids.
I'm not saying more important, but there's got to be another. It's Halloween is weeks away. You don't have to go to the pumpkin patch during the playoffs.
So you think it's more important for George to disappoint his little girl than go to
tomorrow?
How old's your daughter?
She's three, and she asked me. She's like, Daddy, I want you to go with me because you work this weekend and you couldn't go with me. I want you to go with me tonight.
How could you turn that down?
Exactly.
You can't say no to that.
No, you know what you tell her?
What?
Honey, I would love to go with you. Let's do it tomorrow night when it's an off night between the Dodgers and the Giants.
And we'll get ice cream afterwards.
I'm going to tell her it's closed.
It's closed tomorrow, George? Could you do it tomorrow, George?
Pumpkin patch is closed. If we go tomorrow, baby. I'll tell her that.
Tonight I've got a press pass. The press seats are absolutely awful. And it's way down the left field line behind the foul pole. I tweeted out the picture last night. It's like, you might as well not even be at the game. So I snuck down at the field level, and tonight I'm just going to go to the field level, and I'm going to wear Dodger gear. I'm going to wear my Dodger hat. I'll technically not be press. I'll technically be a fan tonight, and I'll be one of those guys who lurks around on the field level trying to look down the aisles.
But don't you have a media pass?
I do, but
he does. He doesn't have a seat.
The press seats are out behind the left
field
foul pole.
But you can't be Vic the Brick and be in team paraphernalia.
Wait. You guys want to hear something funny about that pass? Mm-hmm. His hair doesn't match the person. Does that make sense?
That's true.
It was before he went gray?
Yeah, way before.
But, hey, Mace, this is what I say. Go big or go home. Walk down that aisle and sit right next to Mary Hart and see if she kicks you out.
I saw Kevin Demoff last night. He was there with his dad and mom, and I thought, okay, three. Maybe he's got a fourth. So I asked Demoff. He said, nope, only bought three tickets. I thought, I'll sit with those guys. They had good seats, really good seats.
Freeloader.
Did you stalk Kevin Demoff too?
No. He came up to me.
He's playing he's playing the Sting stalker song.
Every step you take.
That is a creepy song.
Everybody loves this song. It is a great song, but it is about a stalker.
Yeah, you couldn't make that song today, could you? Because that came out like 25 years ago.
You can't do anything today.
It's a subtle stalking
song. Subtle stalking. Okay. I'm sure girls appreciate that. Some guys subtly stalking them.
If you stalk them subtly, yes. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Michael Thompson's hanging out. We're getting ready for Game 4. NLDS Dodgers. Walker Buehler on the mound tonight at Dodger Stadium. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, so the NHL on ESPN is back tonight, and the Seattle Krakens are going to be playing on that. And I absolutely love that name, by the way.
There's no S on the end of it, Greg. It's just the Kraken.
It's the Kraken?
Singular.
Oh, even better. Yeah. I like it even better
What's a Kraken, Bergman?
It's the sea
Kraken
creature.
Kraken is a mythical creature.
It's a fake octopus.
A giant octopus.
In the Bermuda Triangle, right?
I've seen them.
Anyway, friend of the show, Bill Oram, put out a tweet saying, are Seattle NHL fans considered Kraken enthusiasts?
Crackheads.
Crack enthusiasts. And that was funny, but the first comment got me.
Oh, come on. They got cheese heads.
No, you're right, Michael. A guy from Seattle said on there that they refer to themselves as crackheads.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this nickname?
I like it.
It's great. Have some fun with it.
Yeah, why
would Mason doesn't like it. I can hear it in him already.
That's because he's into drugs.
No.
Mason's offended. He's offended on the behalf of the crackhead.
Never into crack. I can promise you that. I don't know. It seems like a dark period in history when crack was big. I don't know. I guess it's fine. It's probably oversensitive.
It's fine.
Crackheads is a rough name.
I can see them with a giant octopus on their head, you know, like a rubber octopus, call themselves the crackheads, or a giant squid. Sure, Mace. Have a little fun with it, Mace.
Yeah, crackheads. Okay, I'll go with it. Crackheads.
There you go.
All right.
Perfect.
All right, so there's a hack, and I'm going to do this now. Do you have an Apple available?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Jorge's got his Apple.
I'm holding an Apple.
Unfortunately, Michael, I know you don't have one.
No.
Okay, so there's this weird viral hack that came out. It was on TikTok, and I found it this morning, and I wanted you guys to try it out. Okay. So it looks pretty simple. All you have to do, and it's not messy at all. So you have to put the meaty part of your palms on each side of where the stem is.
Okay.
And then wrap your hands around to put the tips of your fingers into the bottom of the Apple. Right. Now use your palms to pull apart the apple in half by applying pressure to the top and pulling out by the stem. Jorge did it.
Wow.
Can you guys do it? Did it work for you? Jorge did it.
Look at that strength I
got. Oh, mine did it too.
Mine is not doing it.
You got weak hands.
I have a defective apple.
We both just did it. You see it?
Yeah.
Michael, you see it?
My fingers are into this. Michael's witness.
Was it hard to do?
No.
I just split it.
It just pops right open, and you can just bite right into it.
So do you put your thumbs into where the stem
is? No, your thumbs. You're using, use where the meaty part of your thumb.
Okay.
And then put it at the top where the stem is, and then pull it apart from the top.
I got it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
And look at that. Now you can just bite right into the apple.
I've never known you could do that.
What do you think of this hack?
It's genius.
I just bite into it.
Right, but now if you could open it
I think it's an unnecessary hack.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't need to hack this.
But I mean,
an apple is an apple.
I don't know. I like it. You open it up.
Do you like to bite into it, Ireland, or do you like to cut it first to get the right flavor, right taste?
Bite into it.
Bite into it first.
I got one of those things that you put at the top of the apple, and you basically split it and get the core out and get the six slices. That's better than this hack.
Are you eating the apple right now?
I am eating the apple. Me too. Really good.
Greg's point was you can do his hack without any outside devices.
Right.
What color apples do you guys like the best?
Red. What's wrong with you? Green apples are for cooking.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the yellow ones. They're a little softer.
Yeah, yellow ones are good. Yeah.
Oh, I need the crunch, not the soft.
Yeah, I need the crunch too.
All right, Jorge, what you got for us?
All right, so last night after the game, after the Dodgers-Giants game, Jerry Hairston Jr., in the middle of his show, you know, they have fans behind them.
Yes.
A San Francisco fan threw a flag over his head during the live broadcast. Now, you guys have covered a ton of sports games and whatnot. Yep. Has any fan ever done anything like that to intervene with your broadcast?
So, 2002, the Angels win the World Series, and I'm doing live shots from the parking lot, and people are going crazy. And Dave Turner, my photographer at that game, said, he anticipated, he goes, John, you can't stay down here. We're getting on the roof of the van. And so we had a TV van. We get on the roof, and Dave's up there with me, and somebody, I don't know where they got it, they threw a metal trash can at me.
Wow.
And Dave, who's a big guy, threatened to go down there and beat the crap out of him, and the guy ran away. But that's the closest I've come to what happened. Now, did J-Hare react?
Yeah, he just took the flag and says, get this off of me and whatnot, but he continued. You know, he was live. I'll send you guys a clip.
In 2015, I was working for Channel 11, and the Dodgers, you probably remember this, lost the division series to the Mets. They lost in Game 5 at home in 2015.
Right.
And there were two guys in Daryl Strawberry jerseys behind me that would not leave. They knew I was doing a live shot, and they knew they wanted to be in the shot. There were no Dodger fans, just two Mets fans standing behind me when I did that live shot. That's as close as I've been.
Were there any, like, kind of altercations in the stands or parking lot yesterday? Nothing.
No, none that
saw. Nothing. I didn't see anything.
Everybody was very, very polite. Wow. The Giants fans were polite, and so were the Dodger fans. Yeah, there's actually very little meanness. Mm-hmm. Last night at Dodger
Stadium. I did notice a lot of security, though. Like horses.
Oh, there was
whatnot,
a ton
police.
Of security, yeah. Yeah.
Well, there should be. Yeah. Nobody ever threw anything at you, Michael, right? Nobody would do that.
No, I don't think so. All the fans, even when we're on the road, are really nice in the NBA.
What about hey, Michael, what about that time when Doug Christie's wife threw her purse at Rick Fox?
Oh, yeah. That was great. Oh, I missed those days. That was fun.
And
that was
in the preseason. Later, Jackie, she was super nice to us.
And that was in the preseason. Yeah.
But imagine having to go to that length to make sure your husband doesn't cheat on you.
Well, it is the NBA.
She went everywhere with him.
Yep, it is the NBA.
All right, so the Red Sox beat the Rays last night to move to the ALCS. The GM of the Red Sox is Chaim Bloom, who used to run the Rays. Now tonight, the Dodgers are on the brink to the Giants, and they are run by Farhan Zaidi, who used to help run the Dodgers. Is there anything to this coincidence?
Well, they probably know the other team's playbook, but no. I mean, if you're running the Rays, if you're Andrew Friedman and you're running the Dodgers, you want your, for lack of a better word, your underlings to advance. You're rooting for them to get GM jobs. So I actually think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I do too. I'm always in favor of people having the opportunity to advance. We've worked with a lot of people who have done really, really well over the years. I always think, you know, they talk about a coach's tree. I always think that we, John, have a tree of people that we've worked with over the years who've gone on to do really successful things, who've gone on to, frankly, become much bigger and much more important than us, making a lot more money than us. And I don't resent that because I want people to be able to advance. I think there should be upward mobility for everybody, and I'm always glad when they're successful.
Although, I will say, A. Martinez, that a monetary tip inside our Christmas cards would be appropriate for all we've done for you.
Hey, you know what? Are we done with
this? Let me say something about Farhan Zaidi. You know, he has revolutionized the Giants. I mean, he basically did with the Giants what Andrew Friedman did for the Dodgers. And he's come up with a unique mix
for a lot less money
of veteran guys like Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford, along with younger guys like Lamont Wade Jr. They cast-offs like Donovan Solano, cast-offs like Anthony Desclafani, who we're going to see tonight. Kevin Gausman was a cast-off.
Yeah, those guys are their version of Max Muncy and Chris Taylor.
Exactly. So Farhan Zaidi, ultimately the answer is, you know, they are from the new school. I'm not surprised that Chaim Bloom is having success. I'm not surprised Farhan Zaidi is having success. They came from the Rays organization and the Dodgers organization, and it just so happens they met in the World Series last year. It's not an accident.
Hey, you know what one of the worst fallouts from this John Gruden mess is that everybody's missing and no one's mentioned?
Well, you want to hold that because we're in the middle of something else, Michael. Well, Why don't you do that at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock? Is that okay?
If I remember, yeah.
Yeah, I'll ask you about it.
Right. That's a very weird transition. Anyway, we've made it through week 5 of the NFL season, and that means another edition of Fun with Stats.
All right.
And don't look it up, John. I'm looking at you. Rushing touchdowns. Who are the top 5 in rushing touchdowns this season? And I'll give you a hint. There are 4 tied for second.
Four ties for well, second. One of them's got to be Derrick Henry, right,
Yeah,
Mace?
One of them's got to be Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry is number one with seven. So now the rest of them are all tied.
All right, so Michael, rushing touchdowns. Who else?
Boy, let's see.
What about Dalvin Cook would be an obvious one, I think.
No, he hasn't played. He's been hurt. Yeah, so I would think what about Ezekiel Elliott? Dallas is playing well.
Is that your guess?
Sure. Yeah.
He is on that list. Ezekiel Elliott has five, so everyone is tied with five.
Austin Eckler.
How about Aaron Jones?
Which one is the guess, Aaron Jones or Austin Eckler?
Eckler.
Eckler is not on the list.
All right, that's so is that one strike?
One strike. One strike.
All right, now, Mace, I have one of these guys in fantasy, and I never play him.
Yeah.
So I happen to know, because I have Austin Eckler, Darrell Henderson, and the guy I always sit is James Conner in Arizona,
yeah.
And he has at least four. I don't know if he has five, but James Conner has at least four. Should we go with him?
Yeah, let's go with him.
James Conner does have five.
Okay.
So there's two left.
Two left, and we have one strike or two strikes?
I still
strikes?
Think Aaron Jones.
Are we going with Aaron Jones?
How many strikes left do we have?
We have two strikes left.
Yeah, sure, Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones is not on the list.
So oh!
That's two strikes. Two strikes.
Mason, you screwed us.
All right. I did screw that
now, Mace,
up.
What two about left. This? In the first 2 weeks of the season, Sam Darnold rushed for two touchdowns in each week, so he had four after 2 weeks. Do you think Darnold somehow has a fifth in there?
Darnold.
I know he has four.
I can't imagine it's
a quarterback. He has at least four.
What about Lamar Jackson?
I don't think he has a lot of rushing touchdowns. But Lamar, Kyler Murray.
Oh, wait. What about the Cleveland guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Who has more, Chubb or the Kareem Hunt? Who has more? Chubb, probably, right?
Yeah, Chubb.
We'll go Chubb.
No, that's three strikes for you. But
oh.
You were right on this. You were right there. Both of you were right there. Kareem Hunt does have five, and Sam Darnold does have five.
Oh,
you
Sam
are
Darnold
right
does
there.
Have five. Wow.
Right there.
We had it, and we gave it. We're like the Dodgers. We had it, and Brandon Crawford snatched it from us.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. There's your jump ball for today. Okay, coming up, Michael, I want to get your take on the John Gruden thing. Also,
By the way, two things have happened to John Gruden in the last 5 minutes. Neither one of them good.
Okay, we got those things coming up for you next, and Michael Thompson reacts to that. Plus, we're getting ready for Game 4, Dodgers versus Giants tonight at Dodger Stadium. I will be there lurking around field level. If you see me, say hi. I'll buy you a beer.
If you see Mason, send him home.
Yeah, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.